Namaste.
Let us do our mission statement. Together, we are a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. Again, we're a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. Well, last winter, as a truck driver stopped for a red light, a woman in pursuit behind him jumped out of her car, ran to the truck's door, and knocked. And the truck driver lowered his wisdom, and she said, Hi, my name is Heather, and you're losing a little bit of your load. The truck driver rolled his eyes and drove on down the street. When the truck driver stopped at the next red light, the girl in pursuit jumped out of her car, ran up to the truck driver's door, and knocked again. The truck driver lowered his window, and once again, the woman cheerfully said, Hi, my name's Heather, and you're losing some of your load. The truck driver just rolled his eyes in disbelief, and when the light turned green, he continued on down the road. At the third light, red light, it all happened all over again. Out of breath, the woman got out of her car, ran up, knocked on the truck door, and the truck driver rolled down the window, and again she said, Hi, my name's Heather, and you're losing some of your load. When the light turned green, the truck driver revved up his engine and raced down the street to the next red light. He stopped, jumped out of the truck, and ran to that woman's car and knocked on her window. When she lowered it, he said, Hi, my name is Kevin. It's winter in Wisconsin. It's snowing, and I'm driving a salt truck. Yeah. Some people got to wake up and got to get a clue as to what they're in pursuit of, right? Oh, my gosh. Spirit is awakening in me in this moment now, and I am feeling it stirring. Can y'all affirm that with me? Spirit is awakening in this. I'd said it wrong. We'll have to do it again. Spirit is awakening in me in this moment now, and I am feeling it stirring. One more time. Spirit is awakening me in this moment now, and I am feeling it stirring. So often in life, you think we should all go out and listen to him talk? It's okay. When there's a conversation, I hear them all. They're talking over in the fellowship hall. I can hear all those conversations. So, and I get distracted. I don't know if it distracts you, but I get distracted. So, let's do that one more time. Spirit is awakening me in this moment now, and I am feeling it stirring. Spirit is awakening me in this moment now, and I am feeling it stirring. So often in life, we get so caught up in the pursuit of a goal, or of love, or of life, that we entirely miss the essence of what we truly are in pursuit of. We all have a dream stirring within us. There's this longing, this tugging at our heart and our mind that there must be something better in life, a more fulfilling way to live, a, a, a deeper, truer way to be. Some course of action that might lead to live in the wonder of life. Y'all know that we're living in the Garden of Eden. We're still there. Right? Believe it or not, this was the heart and the core of Jesus' message. He said, the time is now. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God of infinite possibilities is right here in this moment. Repent, which means to turn around and look for the good. Right? Look for the good. And the good news wasn't about some way to avoid that burny place called hell. Anybody ever hear that before?
No.
Never, right? That we would go to for eternity if we just didn't measure up. But rather, the good news was about this ever-expanding wonder and marvel and goodness that we could experience right here in this moment now. If only we had the eyes to see and the childlike wisdom to see it. Unfortunately, when we were young, most of us weren't taught that God is nearer than our next breath. That God, the sacred energy of life, permeates every cell of our being. And that everything exists, that divine wisdom and life and love flow in and through every particle of creation. Instead, many of us were learned about predestination, right? Y'all know that term, don't you? Predestination. And that our fate was already determined. As most of Shimon's high school classmates had learned. Shimon's my daughter. And she would just come home shaking her head about what some of the kids were telling her. That things are just going to happen because your life has already been predetermined and you just better get used to it because it's just God's will, right? And there ain't nothing you can do about it. You're meant to suffer. And if you got used to the suffering and accepted it, you might get to go to heaven when all things were dead, done and said. Was I the only one that was taught that? No. You know, there is a different way. A way of being that will lift you into the wonder of heaven's presence. Right here, right now. In his book, The Seed of the Soul, Gary Zukav states that we are evolving from a species in pursuit of a power based upon perceptions of the five senses of our physical nature into a species in pursuit of authentic power, a power based upon perceptions and values of spirit. He explains how the pursuit of external power has produced a survival for the fittest mindset, mentality, generating conflict between lovers and communities and superpowers and high schools and colleges and everywhere. And has brought us to the edge of world destruction. In The Seed of the Soul, Zukav describes the remarkable journey of awakening to spirit's presence that each one of us is on, whether we know it or not. As I finished reading that text above, I thought of this very important idea in the text of the Declaration of Independence, right? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then as a historian, you know, most of you know I'm a crazy historian. I know the crazy side of all history. Sometimes it drives you all crazy, I know. But as a historian, I thought about how we as a nation and as a people, we began this pursuit of happiness in outer ways, right? As this illusionary journey of seeking to achieve a goal, achieving an achievement, recognition, who won the last championship, who earned the most money, who owned the most land, who's got the most stuff, who won the last war, earned the biggest honors. The pursuit of outer things. And then a couple of days ago, there was this Facebook discussion on happiness gained in outer ways. And all I could think of, and I replied, why are you talking about happiness in outer pursuits? The only place you can find happiness is within you. Right? No one in the outer can make you happy. It's impossible because you control your happiness. Right? Believe it or not, this is actually the theme of this afternoon's movie, The Neverending Story. Bastian is a boy who has experienced a lot of loss in his life. His mother died. He's continually losing things. He's continually being picked on by the school bullies. You know who they are, right? Those school bullies. And then he loses himself in reading a book about a young warrior who goes off in pursuit to defend the princess of their kingdom. As the movie comes to a close, Bastian believes Narnia, this great kingdom, is on the brink of destruction, and then the princess will be executed. And then the princess whispers into his ear, I am always with you. Just turn within and feel my presence. And the nothing will be no more. And the kingdom will be restored. Wow. A kid's movie. Pause within this moment. Now. And your kingdom will be restored. What were you thinking? Right? What were you thinking? Was there the nothing in pursuit of you? The fear of the nothingness? Of being nothing often haunts us, right? What if we fail? What if we aren't good enough? What if, what if, what if, what if? Have you ever said that? What if? That's when we need to pause in the moment and become aware of what you were thinking and let it go. And the princess, love's presence is always there within us. Still the mind. And become aware of this moment. Now, because that's all there is. Allow the inner stillness to guide you, and then the nothing and the fear it creates will simply dissolve. What were you thinking? just be aware. Be aware of what is in this moment. Be aware of the space between your thought. Be aware of the space between your thought. You know, that's the place we're supposed to live from. That place where there is no monkey mind chatter. You know, monkey mind chatter is that thought that jumps in your mind, goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, right? It's all the, what if you didn't think anything? What if you were just aware of this moment now and aware of the light sparkling down from the lights in the ceiling, aware of the light coming in from over there, aware of this beautiful grand piano, aware of the person sitting next to you and the energy that is flowing in and through them? What if you were aware of all the different colors? And you know what? You can be aware of all this all at once in this moment now. But our monkey mind chatter, which teaches us to be in pursuit of something, holds us in space and time. Oh my gosh. At different points in life, things happen, don't they? A challenging experience, a hardship, a fond memory, which will remind us of who we really are. It will allow us to see beyond the circumstances, beyond this physical reality, and we'll find ourselves in, and we'll be able to grasp a glimpse, an insight, and into an entirely different perspective. Like the situation of the Jewish patriarch Joseph that he found himself in. Y'all know that story, right? Joseph was this dreamer. He didn't work much. He didn't help much. He just dreamed and dreamed and dreamed. And his brothers became very enchanted with him and his favorite son status, because he was Jacob's favorite son, right? And the way he boasted about his dreams, it wasn't the dreams himself that provoked his brother, but the egotistical way in which he shared those dreams. Oh, look what I'm going to get to do. I'm going to get to do this, and I'm going to get to do that. Oh my gosh, isn't that wonderful? Right? You know people like that. Well, besides me, anyway. Boys will be boys. And so his brothers plotted against him. And they took him in and threw him into a pit. And then they sold him into slavery to a passing caravan. And you thought you had problems with your family, right? Well, at this point, Joseph would not have been considered the perfect guide on how to win friends and or how to be a world's best motivational leader. You think? Joseph goes through several more leadership challenges, several more hardship experiences, and he's actually thrown into the deepest, darkest cell in the Pharaoh's prison. And he hits rock bottom. Here in his solitude, when things are the most bleak, Joseph awakens to the promptings of spirit. And to in a crack and opens up in the internal ethers within him. It opens up and he grasps a whole new way to share the gift that has been bestowed upon him. Joseph surrenders his ego and his ego-driven ways, and seeks the guidance of spirits in everything he does. Something moved within him that helped him to see his life differently. Just as Bastion, he is set free from what held him in bondage and the pursuits of the materialistic world. Interesting enough, Nelson Mandela, one of the most remarkable people of our time, also found his freedom while he was being held in prison. It has been said that the only thing that you can control while you're in prison is over your thoughts. It's your own thought. It is literally all that you have. If you're able to steal your mind of all that seeks to hold you in bondage, you can create an opening to awaken to your true self. Michael Beckwith said, many people are more in prison on the outside of prisons than those prisoners who are actually locked up in maximum security. They are held prisoners by the narrow perceptions through which they think and they perceive the world. Everything they think and pursue must fit into the small box of their beliefs, and they can't perceive how anything could exist outside of those parameters. Something may also keep us in the small box of our beliefs. And as long as the ego mind has its way, we resist and we judge anything that seeks to draw us out into a larger, more expansive framework of mind. So you better watch out for those challenging experiences, for they're all meant to break you out of that small box. What if you knew that when you were having one? And that they're going to set you free of the things that you are in pursuit of and hold you in bondage. You can choose to experience and learn from experience, or you can fight it. When you choose to learn from the experience, a portal in the invisible ethers opens up, provides you a glimpse of spirit's kingdom. A field of infinite possibilities that is always waiting right there. Michael Beckwith added that we need to get a smallpox vaccine. That's right. I said it. We need to get a smallpox vaccine so we can be free from our limited, restrictive ways of thinking. So we can awaken to an ever-expanding good that is all about us all the time. In our pursuits of awakening, how do we break free from what holds us into bondage? In the book Teach Us to Pray, Charles Fillmore writes, each individual must first awaken to the truth that God is everywhere, that God is omnipresent spirit, an invisible life force. We must realize God is with us, permeating every cell of our being, and that this earthly substance, this living energy, surrounds and enfolds us and moves through us with each breath we take. God is the substance in which we are immersed. Step two. As we open our awareness to the allness of God, an awakening will occur in us to the fact that everything around us is energy. God energy. Right? It's right here. You can see it, right? Right? God is energy. The oxygen, the hydrogen that we breathe in. The life force, the way we move our bodies, a blade of grass, a flower, a walk in the park, are all filled with living energy that is God's substance. Our purpose is for being here is to live in alignment with this divine energy, awakening to our truest self, to seek to express it, saying, "Use me, Lord. I'm your hands, your feet. Guide me. Express yourself through me." We need to jump into that field of living energy with our fullest awareness and begin to explore it. Become aware of it. Feel it. Sense it. Be it. Learn to see it with your inner eye. Ask yourself, do I see because I have eyes? Or do I have eyes because I see? When we close our eyes and try to visualize a thing, are you using your eyes to create that vision? Or is there something else in you that's seeing? Stop relying on your physical senses and learn to pause and see with your inner awareness. When you close your eyes, you can see the ocean in your mind. I can. If you rest in awareness of the ocean for a few moments, you'll be able to hear and smell and feel the ocean waves as they break upon the shore. It'll seem as if you're really there. Stretch your inner awareness at every opportunity. The awareness of joy, of peace, of love, of abundance, and happiness, they're all within you. And allow them to grow and develop awareness of them. Allow those feelings just to grow out. This is why positivity is so important for us. It's the only way that we can feel this life force. Close yourself in God's joy, peace, love, and abundance. Byron Katie would say, surrender to what is. Surrender to what is and ask yourself to experience true freedom. Be extending forgiveness to every person, every place, everything that ever harmed you. Anything that betrayed you or done things in a way that was wrong. They couldn't have done it unless you let them. Unless you saw them doing it and invited them to do so. They couldn't have done it without your help. Right? If you weren't there, how could you have been the victim? Do you control your thinking? Or do they control you? What's that one saying? The act of forgiveness is like stabbing yourself in the heart, and the person that you're angry with gets to go to the movie theater and enjoy all the wonder. What? Oh my gosh. Do the people that hurt you control you? Or do you control your own happiness and wonder? One more thing. Learn to ask the right questions. Our society is so caught up in the pursuit of knowledge and outer things, believing that we all have the right answers already, that we've stopped growing and fail to understand what the challenges are that lie right before us. When we ask, why me? Why this? What's wrong? It sends us down a path of darkness, blame, and pointing fingers out there. And that's what plagues us and draws to us the experience of more and more of the same. What you focus on is what you get. What we need to do is ask, in this situation, what is mine to do? Right? What is mine to do? What am I to learn? How am I to grow? How do I see love's presence in all things? How do I truly express my truest self? As we rest within these types of questions, Spirit responds within us and arises up to provide us the answers and the actions that we need to take. And will lead us to awakening to an entirely new reality. Our pursuit in all things is to do as Jesus said. Yeah, to do as Jesus said. And you know what he said? Let your light shine out into the darkness. Right? Let your light shine. To realize that we are a point of light, of divine light, of radiant being, of light and energy, created in the image and likeness of the divine. Created in the image and likeness of an infinite presence all around us. Spirit is awakening in me in this moment now. And I am feeling it stirring. You want to say that with me?
Spirit is awakening in me in this moment now, and I am feeling it stirring.
One more time.
Spirit is awakening in me in this moment now, and I am feeling it stirring.
Yes, I am. Yes, you are. Yes, I am. I'll invite our prayer chaplains.